On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, we are joined by Dr. David Janisse. And I hope I'm saying it right. Is that how you pronounce your name, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you are with Ochsner LSU Health, and you are seeing, like many doctor's offices in town, hospital ERs, flu cases spiking. Louisiana's got one of the biggest problems in the country. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, flu season is definitely underway. It's clearly increasing. The CDC said there's about 4.6 million people in the United States that have already been sick. Almost 50,000 hospitalizations, about 2,000 deaths nationwide. Louisiana is already above the baseline. About 7% of the emergency department visits meet that influenza-like illness criteria. And we've had a whopping 23.1% flu test positivity, and it's only trending upward. The Ocklahoma area has actually increased in multiple public health regions, including our region. So flu isn't just going around. We're going up.
Now help me explain the 23% positive rate. If I come to your office and I've got the sniffles or I've got something else, 23% of the people that are presenting have the flu? Is that what that means?
Yeah, after a test, they're testing positive for either flu A or flu B.
Okay, explain the difference between the two.
Well, it's just about a genome, actually. It's the difference between, you know, an apple and an orange. They're both fruits, but they're still, you know, they're different things, but they're both fruits.
Is one worse than the other?
No, not really. Flu A and flu B, you're more common to have flu A around here than flu B, but they do both still take the wind out of your sails when you get them.
How worried are you about everybody getting with grandma and grandbabies and kids and all that over this week that we're going to see another spike after these big holiday visits?
Well, you know, this ain't nothing new, but holiday gatherings do increase transmission. More indoor time, more close contact time, travel together in a car, kids, college students, mixing households, mixing, you know, kids are coming home for Christmas. So, you know, gatherings amplify the spread. You often see the illness kind of manifest 3 to 7 days later and more clinic and emergency department volume 1 to 2 weeks later because people don't actually seek care on day one. So the holidays act like a multiplier. More indoor gatherings means more opportunities for the flu to jump different households. So we often see that uptick the week later and a bigger bump about 1 to 2 weeks later after that.
Dr. Janisse, Scott Hughes, good morning. Some of us get the flu shot every year. How effective is the flu shot, or is this, and I'm not a medical person at all, is this type A, type B? Were they covered by the flu shot this year?
Well, getting vaccinated is still worth it. You know, there was a report that came out about the CDC saying this year's flu shot isn't as effective. The flu shot's only as effective 25 to 50% of the time given the year anyway. There's many different strains of the flu. Flu A, flu B is a big strain, but there are over 100 different combinations of the flu. And so that's when you hear about like the H1N1, H3N2, that kind of stuff. So, you know, it's still worth it. If it doesn't protect you from it, meaning that you don't get the flu, you still don't have as long of a run. So the CDC still does recommend it for everyone over the age of 6 months.
And you said that one of the issues with this is, I guess, the longevity period for it really flares up and people don't go day one. What are the easy early signs? If someone's sitting there and they go, I don't feel well, what should I be looking for in day one or two to maybe get that care quicker?
Well, if you haven't been sick, man, I want to be you. But, you know, it's when you start to feel, you know, the general body aches, the sniffles, the cough, the sneeze. If you're starting to have fever or feeling that you're febrile, like you're feeling like you're sweating, you don't really feel well, that's the time that maybe you should get checked. That doesn't mean we got to run to the emergency department, though. You know, we only have so many of those. But call the doctor, try to go to the urgent care, maybe go to the CVS, Walmart, Walgreens, the department store, the pharmacy, maybe get a self-swab, and that way you can see what your status is yourself. If you do test positive for flu, if you do test positive for flu A or flu B, then at that point in time, we need to stay home. We need to call the work and say, hey, look, I'm sick. I got the flu. Wash your hands, stay hydrated, and make sure you're cycling through Tylenol or ibuprofen as needed for your discomfort.
And I think as humans, we tend to think that the flu is going to come because the cold weather, the snow, that's the imagery we always get with flu. And now here we are wearing shorts, playing Hawaiian music with 80 degrees. Flu is there in hot temperature. Is that safe to say?
It is. So, you know, if we go back to the origin of where the flu comes from, it's one of those viruses, if you ever seen like Outbreak and whatnot, you know, it comes from different animals. It spreads from different ways. And so the flu doesn't just come into us. It starts from animal models and whatnot, and then it starts to grow and develop. And it just so happens to be that flu is traditionally a fall season, just like they're starting to see that COVID is starting to be like a summer season. And so it depends on what the virus is and how it actually comes to be that you start to see these seasonal effects of what the virus does.
Let's go back. We're talking to Dr. David Janisse with Ochsner LSU Health. Let's go back to the flu shot a minute, because some people may be listening and going, yeah, I'm going to run through the drugstore and get my shot today. Because before Christmas, it takes a week or so to kick in, right? So you're not covered for Christmas if you get your flu shot right now. Am I right?
That's exactly right. And that just goes back to how the body processes these vaccines. It takes about 1 to 2 weeks for you to start to manifest with symptoms, just like we said, because the body starts to react to the virus. It also takes about 1 to 2 weeks for you to generate immunity whenever you get a vaccine, because that's how long it takes the body to react to the vaccine. So if you think about that, you always got to give yourself about 1 to 2 weeks of a lead time before you can say, oh, yeah, I'm good.
Dr. Janisse, how contagious is this strand? Like, how quickly is it going to spread, and how much should I really worry about getting others sick if I have it?
Well, that's a good question. We're in week right now in the calendar year, and the Louisiana Department of Health tracks how statewide we move, and Texas actually tracks how counties move in terms of like who's testing positive and whatnot. We're a little bit ahead of Texas and Louisiana, and so whenever we talk about the virulence or how quickly a virus spreads, the CDC has tracked this and said that it's a rather aggressive strain. And they started talking about that in the week 45, week 46 pathway. So they just said that it was very quick to get it, and then people are getting sicker faster, and then they kind of just let that be.
And what does the future hold, Doctor? I mean, does flu have a cycle and the whole thing just sort of burns out? So many people get sick and it stops, or does it keep growing? I know Mardi Gras is coming up, and I remember a few years ago when we had COVID, I think one of the real problems of COVID actually ended up being Mardi Gras. Everybody went to Mardi Gras parties, New Orleans, and then it went everywhere. Is flu going to run its course, or is it going to be here through February, through March?
Well, traditionally, flu season starts around August and September. That's the reason why the flu vaccines come. And it ends around February to April at the latest part. So it is seasonal in terms of our fall to winter, and then winter to early spring part. So it will burn itself out.
Okay.
It happens every year.
Let's go back. In our last minute here, let me have any, because I was looking for it yesterday, and you talked about Texas has it by counties. Do we have any data showing how big a problem it is in Northwest Louisiana as compared to New Orleans or Baton Rouge or Lafayette? Are we a trouble spot in the state, or do we have that data?
So the LDH, the Louisiana Department of Health, has a dashboard. You can go into their website and you can see what their numbers are by region. If I'm not mistaken, they don't granulate it down by parish. So
okay.
You can always go to the Louisiana Department of Health's website, and they have the statistics that are reported to them every week.
And we're averaging about what the other regions of the state are. We're not any higher than any other region, I would guess, correct?
I did not see any that granular information to talk about Caddo-Bossier.
Okay.
So if it tracks, if the state's going high, we're going high too.
Okay. For Christmas gatherings, what's your advice? If you've got a sniffly kid that wants to sit in your lap or wants to come snuggle with you, maybe avoid it for Christmas. I hate to say that. Everybody wants to hug on their, you know, grandbabies and nieces and nephews, but you got to be aware, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, the closing statement here is that if you're high risk, meaning, you know, you're above the age of 65, you're pregnant, you have chronic disease, you're immunocompromised because of cancer or whatnot, if flu symptoms hit or you're around someone who may be having the flu, wash your hands, wear a mask, and seek care early. Because the fact of the matter is, we do have a medication called Tamiflu. It does work sometimes. It doesn't make you, you know, magically cure, but it does decrease the amount of time that you're ill with the flu.
Dr. David Janisse, Ochsner LSU Health, thank you so much for your time. Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year. We appreciate your speaking with us today.
Merry Christmas. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you, Doctor.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel. The top 10 national stories from Scott Hughes, who did all the homework for the show today. That is coming up in about 20 minutes, less than that, right here. 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Back with more Carty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Mike and McCarty, Aaron off. Ruben is in this morning. We're going to have Thomas Avalone come in after 7 o'clock. Looking forward to, I want to find out about I-20. If somebody knows about I-20 in Bossier right now, have they opened it up? Have you heard?
I haven't seen.
I haven't been over in a couple of days. Last time I was there, it wasn't fully open, but then it seems like I heard that maybe it's open.
The last time I went through Bossier was Sunday, and it was not. It was still pretty congested.
Okay. See, that feels like yesterday to me.
Right. It really does.
I haven't been out, or I've been out, so... So I want to find out. We are going to talk with Aaron Buchanan with the DOTD and get the latest on that for those late holiday travelers, of which I will be one.
I will be one too. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to be cruising through Bossier.
Yeah,
headed to Minden for Christmas.
That's right. We're going to Arcadia this evening. On Christmas Eve, we go to my cousin's house every year.
Very cool.
I've got to head over east. So I'm hoping everything's open and good to go. So maybe somebody will let us know.
Hopefully it'll be pretty easy traveling for everybody going east. I'm not sure. Sunday, it wasn't that great. I ended up getting stopped behind a truck that wasn't supposed to
yeah.
be there.
Yeah. Now, last night we hit the road and went to Natchitoches.
Oh, yeah?
And had a great time.
Checked out the lights.
My sister, yes. We just went down and had dinner on Front Street.
Very cool.
And yeah, and there was like 11 of us.
God, I haven't been down there in years. As a radio guy, I used to go every year, you know, I used to get paid to go.
Right.
I just don't do
that kind of stuff anymore.
No, we really don't. It's a bummer. It's a bummer sometimes.
But now it was beautiful. Of course, they always do it. And it was nice weather. As far as no rain, but Ruben, it does not feel like Christmas.
It doesn't. No, I kicked on my AC last night.
I'm walking around Natchitoches in shorts, for crying out loud. Looking at Christmas lights. We did get a funnel cake down on the river.
Very cool. Oh, yeah. You can't not get a funnel cake.
It's technically not really a river, the Cane River. It's like a really long, skinny lake.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still beautiful. And we had a really nice time.
Oh, it's always fun at Christmas in Natchitoches. You can't beat it. You really can't.
And we were hoping, being like a Tuesday night, there weren't going to be a ton of people, and there it wasn't. It worked out really well.
Very nice.
We got good parking, and so had a good time. But I'm telling you, we were down there, and we were down on the river, and it got to be about 8 o'clock, and I'm like, okay. Our group, let's go.
It's time to load it up. Time to go.
My alarm's going off in the morning.
Oh, no.
But I didn't mind because Aaron, she's now, it's our annual year-end scramble to get our days in.
Right. If we don't use our days, we lose them.
Right.
So we're just scrambling to get
so
days.
That's what we're doing. And you and I will be out the rest of this week.
Yep.
After today, we've got Best Of loaded up. Aaron got all those loaded up, I think, before she left yesterday.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
If not, it'll be a lot of silence on the air tomorrow.
Yeah, so looking forward to finding out about I-20. Now, also on yesterday, Scott Hughes, I understand, looked at the top news stories for 2025. Is that what we?
Yeah, the top national news stories.
National news stories.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a pretty good argument between Scott and Aaron. What should have been on the list.
Let's see. The trained journalist. All right. Well, I'm anxious to hear that. So we'll do that in about 10 minutes. Mike and McCarty, Aaron off today. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, taking a look at the top news stories of this past year, the top national stories, Scott Hughes and Aaron had quite the debate yesterday. That's coming up right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
With Scott Hughes, my pal, my buddy, he brought breakfast and coffee today. He's buttering us up for some reason, so we don't fight with him this hour.
So you don't call me the rest of the year.
Yeah, exactly. You got a point.
I think my court ordered time here is over.
I think it might be. I asked you to put together a list of the top ten. National news stories for the year.
We did 10. We did 10 local earlier. Now this is 10 national.
Okay, let's hear your national.
10 national. Again, my caveat, it has to be a story that captures, you know, the attention.
Okay.
And it has to have some shelf life, as we say. So not just a one and done.
And I wrote five down. I'm going to see if any of my five are on your list.
So number 10, and I find it hard to believe I'm placing this at 10, but we knew it was coming, but it did happen. Number 10, I wrote President Trump's inauguration / Doge. That was sort of the first phase of the Trump administration. He comes in and quickly starts signing orders, and we're doging people.
Trump's on my list. Got it.
That was 10 on my list.
Wow. Okay.
Number 9, also political, because I think it captured us late. Number 9, I put the Mondami election in New York City.
Ah.
I think that was a huge political wave, the way that came about.
Okay, I agree with that. That's a pretty good number 9.
Number 8, I put the California wildfires.
Oh.
That was actually January.
Was it really?
Yes, that was a huge deal. I mean, we all were enamored, watched those videos. Because that was winter. That was weird about it. The winter winds were whipping.
That was horrible.
It was awful. Number 8, the California wildfires.
Okay.
Now, with my crack staff, we did switch 6 and 7.
Did you? Okay.
Yes, we did. There was a discussion in my crack team.
Okay.
So now at number 7, I'm going with the Texas flooding, Camp Mystic. That was 4th of July, remember?
Yes.
It seems like a lifetime ago.
Okay.
But, there were more than just the girls died at that camp. But
right.
That was a story that captured a lot of America's attention, especially in this region.
All right.
Obviously, we had connections. Number 6, I put, because, again, it was so big, I put the Middle East, which I'm putting down as the Iranian bombing mission, the hostages were freed, the peace plan, the whole thing. It's the Middle East has been in the news the entire year.
Okay.
So I just called it the Middle East. Trump also made a trip to the Middle East.
Yes, he did.
So it just didn't go away. It was there the whole year.
Okay.
Number 6.
Your top 5. Here's
my
number
top
5.
Number 5, the Pope. The election of an American Pope.
Hadn't even thought of that.
Huge deal, especially for Catholics.
Yes.
But really for the world.
Connections to Louisiana.
I mean, the Pope is one of the premier figures in the world, along with the American president.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're both American. Of course, the American president's always
American. Yeah, that's cool.
Number 4, I put the government shutdown.
Okay, it's on
the
my
longest
list.
Shutdown in history of the United States government, 40 plus days, the government shutdown.
Okay.
Number 3, I put tariffs.
Yes.
Which would be trade war. It has just the whole year that's been there, up and down, back and forth.
Okay.
Impacting everybody. Number 2, I put the Charlie Kirk assassination.
Okay. That's.
I think it happened. I think it had a huge social and political impact still today reverberating. And number one,
the which is the stupidest thing of all time. Here's his number one.
The number one, the story that just will not go away.
Yeah.
I put the Epstein files. It has undergirded everything this year.
See, my circle of people could give a rat's booty about the Epstein files. My circle of life, my inner, my medium, my external, they couldn't care about the Epstein files at all.
Yeah, but I can't put Survivor finals on here every time.
They care about inflation. You don't have inflation
well,
here.
Well, that's tariffs.
That goes with tariffs, I guess.
That's the trade war. That's tariffs.
Okay. The prices of things. The National Guard being sent out into our cities. You don't have that on your list.
I don't think that's, you know.
That's bigger than, for me, I care way more about that than I do about the Epstein files. I really do. Am I wrong?
You asked me to put my list together.
I know, and part of it is I wanted to fight with you. So I'm.
The National Guard, which not on my list, you could argue, the National Guard hasn't caused a member of Congress to quit yet. The Epstein files has. Members of Congress are walking away. The National Guard didn't cause Congress to get shut down for days or all summer because we're afraid to call Congress into session. The National Guard didn't have a member from Arizona not get seated for weeks.
I would have the Epstein files on the list, but number one, Scott, really?
Yeah, you asked my list.
I'm not being mean to you. I'm thinking that's.
We're having a debate here.
Which is fine.
I'm defending my list.
Which is fine. No big, beautiful bill on your list? Would you lump it with tariffs?
We don't know what the big, beautiful bill is going to do yet. I mean, they passed it. Doesn't go into place until next year.
It kind of goes with government shutdown.
I kind of put it with government shutdown. I remember Trump inauguration, the DOE. I mean, several places. But, you know, the problem with the national, you start getting, and you've already answered. You know what was number 11 on my list? It wasn't even any of those things.
I have another one to tell you. What's
number 11 on my list was the penny.
Oh, the penny's gone.
We could do this for an hour.
Oh, we could.
I did it last night for an hour with my crack research team. there's so much. We haven't talked about hurricanes that hit. You know, the destruction of certain,
bombing of the ships. We haven't talked about that either.
The ships in the Caribbean. Yes. Yep. There's so much. Every day is a complete week news cycle right now.
Yeah, it really is. You're absolutely right.
We start getting into, we didn't even mention, I mean, I tend to have a younger, you know, focus group, and they're going, oh, Taylor Swift got engaged. Not on my list. But to a lot of this country, that might be a top 10 if you're looking at cultural events.
Right.
I was just looking at my list, Scott Hughes' list, that's it. And the beautiful thing about lists is we can fight about lists.
Yes, I'm perfectly fine with that. And we will kiss and make up. Well, we're not going to kiss, but we'll make up at the end of it. The Epstein thing, I think it's one of those, you can't see the forest for the trees. I think a lot of people that are in the middle of watching that and following that, they get so caught up. When the general public is, you know, going out and buying eggs and milk and wondering if the big, beautiful bill is going to lower their, you know, their taxes. Are they going to really get more money next year in their paycheck? Is that really going to happen? Nothing on the list about health care. A lot of people are worried about that.
I understand. I would think the Mondami election was kind of indicative of that a little bit. It sort of signaled a move toward affordability. Why did Mondami, an avowed socialist, to be honest, win the mayorship of the largest city in the country? I think a lot of those issues are tied up in that.
That's a good question.
The reason I put Epstein on there, again, I'm the political analyst. Okay. I saw it. There's an undercurrent of it in a lot of things that went on. And then of all the things we've seen, it's the greatest threat, I think, at this point, politics in this country, because it's breaking peace on that issue.
1017 FM, 710 Kiel.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Kiel.
We were wondering about I-20 in Bossier. I think a lot of it is open. We did get a message on the Shreveport Security Systems message board. Bayrat says, I travel it every day. All is open except the Benton Road ramp from I-20 East.
Okay.
So I'm hoping all lanes are open now. And then I got a text that I Going east, I was able to get off at the airline exit. Iris, no longer just a single lane. Don't know what that means. Much better drive on. Police are still stationed as construction warnings. Be Aussie. They are still doing some. Sometimes speech to text doesn't
jibe.
Doesn't actually work. But it is much better now, so absolutely. Looking forward to talking with Aaron Buchanan with the DOTD, so we will get the absolute scoop after the news top of the hour.
Well, good. I'll have we'll have clearance for heading east. You're going this evening, I'm going tomorrow morning.
Okay, speaking of traffic, I have to say I have to be careful because I was doing a little Christmas shopping yesterday.
Oh, no.
And I had to go on Uri. Oh, my gosh.
Ugh. This week, I have not left my house after work. I just haven't.
Smart.
I refuse.
Because, and I was on the motorcycle, so, which is easier to get around.
Right.
But also, with that much traffic, you're harder to see. People aren't paying attention.
People are looking to see which. Yeah, they're not paying attention to you.
Off of Uri Drive, going like toward Target, it was backed up all the way from Best Buy, all the way up that middle kind of in driveway as you're going up to the stores, all the way back. All the way back to the Jimmy John's. I mean, unreal. It was crazy.
Unreal.
Now, on one hand, it was a huge pain in the behind.
Oh, well, yeah.
But on the other hand, I'm like, okay, I'm glad people are shopping local.
Absolutely, yeah.
I was kind of glad to see that.
Yeah, you got to think, like, this time of year has got to be keeping places like, you know, these big box stores like Best Buy. It's got to be keeping them open. The last minute Christmas shoppers have got to be keeping them in business, aside from the Geek Squad.
And I hate to say this, when was the last time you were in Best Buy?
Honestly, I had to make an emergency purchase.
Oh, okay.
And I was there last month.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to run in and buy a, well, I'm a vintage media collector, and you have to have a special connector to make a VCR work on these new TVs, and I had to go and get one of those because mine just stopped working out of nowhere.
Your VCR?
No, not my VCR. The connector that I have to use to make it work on a regular new TV.
And so you're still able to find VHS cassette tapes.
Oh, yeah.
Movies.
Oh, yeah. I got a haul a couple of, last weekend.
They're actually like a dime now, right?
Oh, yeah. At Goodwill, they're 10 cents a piece. At other places, they're maybe a buck a piece.
Yeah.
I've amassed over 350 tapes.
Now, have you gotten a rewinder? Remember, you know, the little box? It was just a rewinder.
It was hard enough finding a working VCR. Imagine trying to find one of those that still works. I had a friend who had one that looked like a car, and I was so jealous of it. I was so jealous because we had the regular black rewinder, the normal one.
Right.
And they had the race car, which I thought was the coolest thing ever.
A VHS. Please be kind.
Be kind.
Rewind. Aaron Buchanan with the DOTD joining us after the news top of the hour. Micah McCarty, Aaron off today. Thomas Avalone going to be joining us coming up next hour. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com. FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Aaron off today. In fact, she's got some time off scheduled. We'll be out the rest of this week, as a matter of fact. Thomas Avalone joining us in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for coming in. And
absolutely.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline with the DOTD, Aaron Buchanan joining us. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas Eve to you.
Merry Christmas Eve to you as well. Thanks for having me.
Well, now tell us, I was kind of curious. I've got to head to Arcadia later this afternoon, this evening. What is the I-20 situation in Bossier look like now?
The situation looks a lot different than it did just a few weeks ago. We have basically all the lanes open in both directions, with the exception of just a small section of the far right lane near the eastbound Hamilton Road area. But other than that, all the lanes and ramps are open. The only ramp that's still closed is the eastbound off-ramp to Benton Road. But those areas will reopen probably sometime in late January, and then we'll be wrapping up the entire project, I would say, probably sometime in March. So the end of everything is very much in sight.
Uh-huh.
I will say, though, once we get into the new year, though, we will have some intermittent lane closures here and there, short duration type lane closures to kind of finish out all those final work items that still need to be done. But all the major construction is finished.
You're saying there in Bossier at where is there? You're still closed by Diamond.
Typically, so we've been used to being funneled down to one lane eastbound.
Yes,
right around
that's what
Hamilton
I was going
Road
to ask.
Exit.
The Hamilton Road, so is it still a funnel there?
It's a funnel. It's only, we've got two lanes open now instead of one. And so the far right outside lane is closed just through that area between Hamilton and the Benton Road exit.
Okay.
That little area is still got one lane closed.
But two are open.
Two are open now, so, which is double the capacity than what we've seen throughout the duration of the project. And then westbound, everything's open. Everything's flowing, you know, as it typically would. And then past that point, eastbound, everything's flowing like it normally would, which is great. We've endured a lot over the last couple of years, but
yes,
there's a lot
have.
Of people that have put in a lot of hard work to get us to this point. And, you know, this is really what we've been working toward, is have a brand new section of interstate. And that's what we've got.
Now, after the first of the year, it's not going to really conclude until March. What do they still have left to do after?
So, we've got we've got things like putting down the permanent roadway striping. Right now it's temporary. So some spots you'll see are wearing off as temporary striping. It's not the permanent. We need to wrap up installing all the overhead signage. All that's new signage as part of this project. There's some just small things here. They're putting out seed to make sure the grass grows eventually to help with erosion and things like that.
Okay.
So it's kind of all those, task items that are part of most projects at the end that we'll need to do to really check it off and call it all complete.
Is the section in Bossier, are trucks still being routed through 220, or is it now open to trucks?
They are still being routed to 220, just because when we do implement some of those lane closures, there may be some areas that are really still narrow for trucks when we get to that point. So if they can just bear with us for the next few weeks, you know, we'll lift that and stop routing them through to 220.
Okay.
But for right now, they are still being routed.
Okay. So Bossier should be finished, you said, in March, around March.
Yeah, and that's, of course, as we always say, weather dependent,
sure,
in the rainy season, things like that. But very much the end is in sight. And we're very excited to be at this point in the project.
So now, does that mean the construction is going to move west into Shreveport?
So we have, we do have a future project to perform some concrete repairs. It's a few years out. It's in development at this point. Unless we get additional funding, it's not a full rehab where we rip everything up down to the dirt and fully, you know, put new down. But it is one that would provide some pretty significant repairs to the Shreveport side of the river as well. So that there is a project in development for the Caddo side. It's just not quite as extensive and widespread in terms of the type of work being done. But it would still go a long way to improve the rideability and the roadway itself.
Yeah, because it's pretty bad also.
It needs it, sure. Yeah. It needs it on the Shreveport side as well, no doubt. And, you know, our legislature has come through with funding for a lot of projects to move them forward. And so this may be one that we can supplement with additional funding and maybe change the scope of the project and make it more of a rehab. We'll have to see.
So they are planning on doing some, right?
Yes.
For Shreveport.
We do have a future project for the Shreveport side. Yes, we do.
And when do we expect that to start?
Well, it's still, like I said, it's still in development. It's still in the design type of, so we're still a few years out from even letting that project, going to bid with that project.
So we haven't even started the bid process or anything.
Right. Yeah.
I was thinking so, that was part of this whole rehab.
This part of the rehab, we did have concrete panel replacement as part of this rehab that was also on the Shreveport side as well.
Right.
That outside of that, there's still so much more that needs to be done on the Shreveport side too. So yes, we did have that on the Shreveport side as well.
And have they done that?
Yes, that's all complete.
Okay.
Yes. That was done as part of this project.
All right. What about I-40? What about I-49? When are we going to get that connected?
When we're going to get that connected.
Yeah.
Good question. we just received an update on that from our MPO, the latest meeting that we had on the 19th. And once we have a record of decision, hopefully next year, which is like the ultimate goal for this type of project, is to have a ROD or a record of decision from the federal government. Then you're looking at things like, where do we find the money? So that's kind of where we're at with that project. Once we identify the final route for that, then we move forward with identifying, how we would pay for that type of project.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, Aaron, thank you for the update. It's actually some exciting news and very welcome news.
Yes, it is. Welcome for everybody involved.
Absolutely. Sure. Well, Merry Christmas to you and your family, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Same to you. Thank you so much.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Thomas Avalone in for Aaron. Mike and McCarty. Ruben, thank goodness, is here also this morning. Christmas Eve, not a lot going on news-wise. Just not a lot going on. Did some Christmas shopping. You are, of course, Louis Avalone's brother.
I am.
He's your brother, right? Is that what the words?
It's something like that. Every time that's mentioned that I'm his brother, I've got to pay him a little something. So.
We went to Natchitoches last night. Love going. My wife went to Northwestern. She's registered nurse for 40 years.
Sure.
She retired.
Oh, wow.
So she loves Natchitoches.
Uh-huh.
Spent her college years there, and so we still love going down. And we took a lot of the family ended up going down last night.
Well, that's a nice trip,
so,
I think.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. Very nice. Doesn't feel like Christmas. It's a little disconcerting walking around Natchitoches looking at the Christmas lights in your shorts.
Well, sure. But this isn't our first rodeo. We know what that's like.
Sweat
here.
Dripping down
all
your back while you're looking at Christmas lights. Yeah.
It made me laugh because it reminded me when we, that was one of the first movies I was ever an extra on, was that it was really bad.
The Year Without a Santa Claus.
Yes, The Year Without a Santa Claus, right. With John Goodman, Ethan Suplee,
mm-hmm.
And I forget the other guy that was with Ethan. I think they were elves. I don't know that. I didn't watch the whole movie. It was so bad.
You never watch your own work.
I didn't. Honestly, I don't. I really don't. And like I don't go back and listen to these shows. I maybe should. I just don't. I don't know. But when we filmed that movie,
mm-hmm.
and they had it set up because it was, it was supposed to be the Christmas fest, but it was hot. It was like in August, and they had all the lights on, and people were in coats like it was cold, well, and sure. It was 100 degrees. And I remember them taking John Goodman, who at that time, that was before he lost a lot of weight.
Sure.
And he was huge.
Uh-huh.
And they would have to take him in restaurants in the coolers.
Well.
And put him between scenes.
Oh, wow.
And put him in those coolers because he was just
covered head to toe in
dripping with sweat.
Wow.
And I concluded pretty quickly that I didn't really care for extra work.
Uh-huh. It's a lot of hurry up and wait.
It's a lot of hurry up and wait. It's a lot of you're corralled like cattle.
Sure, that's what I've heard.
There's 50 or 60 extras, and you have to go wait in some room or they have some holding place for you.
Right.
And I saw they had a couple actual reindeer. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching them handle these reindeer and putting them in air conditioning. And I'm thinking the reindeer are treated better than the extras.
Oh, yeah. Well, most of the time on movie sets, having worked extra work and PA work, the animals are treated better than everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
The animals get better treatment than everybody. And, the year without a Santa Claus, two GeekedCon alumni, Ethan Suplee and Chris Kattan, were both in that movie.
Oh, okay. Chris Kattan. I don't remember Chris Kattan.
Chris Kattan, yeah. SNL alum. It was actually a pretty star-studded cast. Michael McKean from Spinal Tap.
Really?
Yeah, Carol Kane, Delta Burke. Yeah, that was a lot. It was, wow.
I didn't see any of them.
They were working on your off days.
Right.
Well, again, you're pretty sequestered as an extra. You can't interact with the actual. So once I started getting speaking roles, mm-hmm. it's an entirely different world on set.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because then you're classified actor.
Right.
I mean, that's an actual classification.
You have access to craft services at that point.
Oh, you have your own trailer and people are call you Mr. Martindale. Do you need, you know, it's right. just, it's a whole different world. And I'm just looking at him going, wait a minute, what?
Now, how many years ago was that shot?
Was that 2007?
It came out in 2006.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Has it been that long?
Isn't that crazy?
That was the year I graduated high school.
All right, Ruben. Settle down.
But it reminded me of that last night. Now, it wasn't quite that warm last night.
Right, geez.
But I was still in shorts and a short sleeve shirt walking around Natchitoches.
I mean, it was just last week that was it last week or the week before that it was cold? It's hard to keep
in
up.
The 30s.
It was,
yeah.
Yeah, I think it was a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And Ruben made the comment earlier, and you had to turn the air on.
Yeah, when I went to bed last night, I went the whole day without touching the AC or anything.
Right,
it was all, I had the window cracked. It was very nice. And then when I went to bed, I think I laid there for maybe 3 minutes under the covers before I was like, nah, the AC's coming on.
Now,
the AC's definitely coming on.
Have either of you spent Christmas in a different climate, like where there might be snow on the ground, or have, like me, you've spent every Christmas here?
I don't have any memories of any place else other than here. Well, and we'll talk about some Christmas traditions and Christmas movies and all that kind of stuff this morning.
All right.
Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Well, being Christmas Eve, there are some people that are still working today.
Oh, for sure. I'm looking at two of them.
Yeah. I know, right? But I came across a story of Christmas traditions that people miss, that really people don't do anymore.
Okay.
Our tradition, I guess, if you will, it's so funny. After we open presents on Christmas morning.
Okay.
Have breakfast.
Sure.
After breakfast, and my daughter started this years ago, she starts taking all the decorations off the tree. Our Christmas tree is on the street. By lunch, all the decorations are packed and in the attic, and Christmas is over.
Whoa. Whoa.
And you know what? It's kind of refreshing.
Yeah, is
it's
it?
It's kind of refreshing.
Okay.
Having the house, yeah.
No, I mean, I can see that. It's done. It's not something it's that you have right. to think about tomorrow or next week, but... Man, she really gets after it.
And she doesn't hate Christmas.
No.
We don't hate Christmas at all.
No.
We would love this time of year, especially celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, for sure. Now the first time that she did that, were you all just sitting around enjoying one another's company and gifts?
Probably.
And suddenly everything around you began to slowly disappear.
That's kind of how.
I guess we'll just do this.
Honestly, remember because it's been a long time,
right?
But some of the traditions that people. Say like school Christmas concerts.
Okay, they don't have those?
Say my kid's school doesn't do them, which is a bummer. They're one of my favorite childhood memories.
Mm-hmm.
This is from this list. And when is the last time you saw a live nativity scene? Is there any in town?
I think that there is one at the church over on Southfield, St. Paul's maybe.
Okay.
They were setting one up just the other day, actually.
Okay.
So I think that they
will
did
make
do
a
one.
I will make a special I don't know drive-by.
I don't know what if that's something that's still going on or if it was just a one-off, but right. I believe that I did see one of those within the last couple of weeks. So I think that still happens, maybe not as often as it used to. Now, one of the things that I always grew up with, and I don't know where you guys stand on this, is the live tree versus the artificial tree.
All right. We cut ours down every year.
Right.
We go and cut down a tree.
Right.
We go and my wife will scout locations.
Sure.
And we have, yeah, live
well, growing
tree.
Up, my father and I would get up on a Saturday, and we would hit more than one Christmas tree farm to find just the right tree, and it always involved, cutting it down and hauling it home. In more recent years, I think that we've begun kind of finding our way to Christmas tree lots, but... You know, a
but
live
still
tree
a
is
a live, real tree.
Right. It's something that maybe that's not as common as it once was, or maybe it hasn't been common for some time. And I just happened to grow up in a live tree family, but I prefer a live tree.
We used to take the kids and go like to Dina's grandmother's property in Kichai.
Right.
And go traipse through the woods and find. And we're not picky.
Right.
I kind of like the natural, not perfect tree.
Right. Now, the only thing I will say about the taking down of the decorations the same day is that, I mean, technically there are 12 days of Christmas ahead. You know, you have a New Year's party. You might still want your tree up and the decorations. And
it's just kind of funny. It's
right.
just kind of funny because it makes us look like bah humbug, and it's really not the case.
Right.
But Christmas Day, our tree is on the street.
I think there is an upside to that as well.
Yeah. Reuben, what about Minden?
Oh, in growing up, we did the live tree from the tent. You know, every
okay,
year.
Yes.
But we would get ours and we would get my meemaw's at the same time, but she always wanted it frosted with that mystery dust.
Oh, goodness.
That white snow looking dust.
Is that called flocked?
I have no clue what it's called. There's no telling what that dust is either.
Right.
You don't see that anymore, though.
No.
Do you
and
see
you,
the
you
frosted
have to,
trees?
It makes you wonder why.
Did somebody
you know?
Say it was like asbestos
I
or
think
something?
It might have just been asbestos.
Magical Christmas of asbestos.
Right.
Oh, God. Yeah.
But we always do a live tree. And like I say, again, it comes down Christmas Day. Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KU.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KU.
Well, I kind of feel vindicated a little bit because, and I'll tell you, holiday movies, we all have our favorite holiday movies.
Sure.
A Wonderful Life and A Christmas Story and, you know, all the favorites. Home Alone.
All good choices.
All good movies.
Sure. Absolutely.
Elf.
Another good one.
But holiday movies people hate.
Right.
And I kind of felt a little better when I saw this list because, well, first of all, Home Alone 3 I never saw. Did you ever see Home Alone 3?
I think I might have seen bits and pieces over the years, but no.
None of the original cast.
No Macaulay Culkin.
Nobody was in it that from the original Home Alone. But the Jim Carrey How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
That's on that list?
Number two.
Wow.
Number two.
I feel like that's a pretty beloved Christmas film, but I don't have a dog in that
We love the original animated How the Grinch with Boris Karloff.
You're a mean sure. one. Yeah.
That we absolutely have to watch it every year. Right. It's like 20 minutes long.
Right.
Maybe the makeup and the prosthetics is off-putting for some.
It didn't, for some reason, the Jim Carrey version, I think it was it directed by Ron Howard?
It was Ron Howard, yeah.
Yep. Yes, and I love Ron Howard movies.
Sure.
It didn't have that sweetness to it. Didn't have the, I don't know how to describe it.
Sure.
But when we watched it, and we were so excited when it first came out, and it was like, what'd you think?
I don't think I've watched it since I left the theater 25 years ago.
Well, there you go.
Right.
I think that says it. And another one, The Polar Express.
People don't care for that.
That's number three on the list.
It's odd and off-putting.
It's
the dead eyes of all the characters.
Right. It's the uncanny valley.
Uncanny valley, yeah.
It's what?
It's the uncanny valley. It describes the phenomenon of looking at something that is supposed to be alive but is not. Something's not quite right. It's like some evolutionary trait that we have that allows us to detect threats and perhaps extraterrestrial
things that look human but aren't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Jingle All the Way.
I don't know that I've seen that. I'm aware of it.
I remember that one as a kid, and I remember it being funny. I haven't watched it at all as an adult, but I remember it being pretty funny. I liked Sinbad growing up. So
then there were Christmas with the Cranks, Fred Claus, The Night Before Christmas, and Night is KNIGHT. Don't even know what that is.
I don't even know what that is.
Deck the Halls, The Christmas Chronicles 2.
Okay.
they apparently needed to make another Christmas Chronicles. And then one that my daughter loves, and I enjoy it. It's okay. The Holiday.
Oh, well, sure. That's on that
The
list.
Holiday.
That's nice.
When they swap houses.
Right.
Oh,
the Titanic girl I don't remember the blonde.
Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, Cameron Diaz. Thank you.
I remember Jack seeing Black that on TV a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't. Right. I'm not really offended by any of those choices.
Yeah, I'm not offended, but I don't. I was kind of a little justified about my feelings on The Grinch and Polar Express.
Now, about A Christmas Story? Have you ever met anyone, or you might be one of these folks that cannot abide by The Christmas Story?
I have heard somebody say they can't stand it.
I think it might be those 24-hour marathons they used to run. I think they just finally got to people, you know?
I actually did the stage version of that one year at East Bank Theater.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, there's a stage version. It was a lot of fun. I did. I was Ralphie as an adult narrating.
Oh, sure.
This scene.
That's a good. I think that's good casting.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah. We will get an update on I-20 coming up after next hour. Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Oh, Aaron. Taking some time, much deserved time off. Thomas Avalone in for Aaron. It's Mike and McCarty. And you know, we do at this time of year, we often stop and reflect and try not to take so much for granted. And I appreciate being here and being part of this, and the fact that you listening spend a few minutes with us each morning.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that very much. Thomas Avalone in, and we were talking off mic a little bit earlier this morning. And we were talking about Amazon, because local shopping, and I did get out in it yesterday for the briefest. I had one errand I had to go take care of, and I was like, okay, that's enough of this. But I told Ruben, when we talked about it, I said, I am glad that people are shopping locally. They are out and about, whether it's last minute stuff or
it. That is the upside of that situation on Uri Drive, is that people are out and about and shopping and
Airline Drive and, in Bossier.
Right. Right.
Wow.
Stimulating the economy, hopefully doing it in a wise manner, of course, but
because we know it's gone so much online.
Right.
And it's so easy.
Well, right. I mean, and what we were talking about earlier was just when, you know, we're all old enough to remember the Amazon of the late 90s, and how it was a website strictly for selling books. And
just then, books. And I remember when that was all it was.
And then music, and then slowly got to a point where you could order anything you could think of at any time and have it.
I don't want to brag.
Right.
Because I'm not an Aaron, but...
Oh wow!
I am kind of a special customer with Amazon.
You are.
I'm a prime customer.
You're a prime. They don't give those out to just anybody.
I'm pretty special.
That's something.
And so I get that 2-day shipping or whatever
right.
it is.
Well, shoot, Aaron's got the Bentley, and you've got the Amazon Prime membership. So, just saying.
I'm telling you, with the videos and stuff, totally worth it for me.
Absolutely. And you know something I've noticed since a lot of shopping has gone online, you don't see a lot of the videos you used to see. Remember, every Christmas after Black Friday and continuing through Christmas, you would see people bum rushing doors.
Oh, no.
Right. Oh, yeah. Elbowing each other's teeth out. Yeah, just to get the newest whatever.
Right.
The hot Christmas
because
item of that year.
It's because they've spread out the prime days. The Black Friday starts in June.
Right.
So, you know, it's kind of become like early voting. It's like you don't have election day anymore. You've got election week.
Which is, you just opened a whole can there.
Let's not do that on Christmas Eve. There's no need for that. I'm sorry I brought it up.
But the online shopping has completely changed. So I was glad to see that people were buying from local stores, actual brick and mortar stores. Because I asked Ruben, when's the last time you walked into Best Buy?
Not lately.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So I was glad about that. But the Amazon. The devil.
Well, you know, that's what I was about to say. That's where Amazon gets you, though, because, you know, you're saying supporting local and jobs. But, you know, Amazon, you know, they've got that distribution facility
We're supporting
here. So
local
technically,
jobs.
All of those folks in the blue vest that are walking up to your house at all hours of the night with delivery, you are supporting local. You're paying their salary and putting food on the table. But
we'll get an update on I-20 next hour. We'll talk to Aaron Buchanan with the DOTD. Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. And be sure to download that free Kiel app. -80 degrees Christmas Day. Could be worse.
Yeah.
It could be worse. Our pipes could be frozen.
Absolutely.
And the streets frozen over. And so, I'm not complaining.
There are a lot of folks up north that I bet.
We live in Louisiana, for crying out loud.
They would appreciate our Christmas experience with the lack of snow. And
Thomas Avalone in for Aaron. It's Ruben, Mike, and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, Christmas Eve. Of course, a lot of people off, a lot of people. Aaron, she took some time off. For us, it's the annual scrambling to get our days off before the end of the year.
Sure.
And I think she gets like 3 months off. she's been here so long.
Yeah, she's got some time
because we banked. It doesn't carry over,
right?
So
gotta use it.
Use it or lose it. We were talking a minute ago because it's Christmas and our favorite Christmas movies, our most hated Christmas movies, and that's kind of a harsh way to put it. Most sure. Disliked.
Right.
How can you hate a Christmas
less preferred
movie?
Right.
But you were mentioning earlier television shows.
Well, you know, I got to thinking there's been a lot of
special episodes.
Right. Is that we talk a lot about Christmas movies, but not a lot about, you know, very special Christmas episodes of your favorite sitcom or other type of show. And so I got to looking at, you know, the various lists and the first thing I thought was I don't know that we want to do this because there are so many. Obviously every television show to ever air has had a very special Christmas episode. So it's hard to really pick. I think that the few that jump out at me, of course, is for my money, if it's an episode, if it's a Christmas episode of The Office, it's a good one. And I mean, they've done several. And
Jamaica. Well, no, it was Moroccan Christmas.
Right. They've done several episodes that yeah, perhaps so they would not do in the same way today.
So painful.
But yes, I think if it's an episode of The Office and Christmas is involved, when, you can't go wrong.
When Kevin sits on Michael's lap,
right. Oh,
that kills me.
Right.
That kills me every time.
And almost as fun, if not more fun, are the outtakes.
Oh, absolutely.
When you watch
Oh, for sure.
The outtakes.
So The Office, it's got some strong showings. Of course, there's that episode of Friends with the Christmas armadillo. I think that might be one that people remember.
I think their Friends is more famous for their Thanksgiving episodes.
That is true. They had some very strong Thanksgiving episodes. You had
Chandler hated Thanksgiving.
He
wouldn't eat Thanksgiving food.
Joey wound up with a turkey on his head that he had inserted in the backside.
And Rachel's trifle. Remember Rachel's trifle?
Yeah, that was a Thanksgiving also. Very strong showing from Friends for Thanksgiving, that's for sure. But today we're talking Christmas.
I'm sorry.
So we have the Christmas armadillo episode.
Yes, there you go.
Seinfeld, of course, contributed to the pop culture with Festivus.
Oh, I celebrated yesterday.
That's, of course.
A Festivus for the rest
for the
of
rest
us.
Of us.
I aired a lot of grievances. You both were lucky you weren't here.
Oh, goodness. Yes, wow, that would have been something.
Was it the pole?
Yeah.
The Festivus pole?
Just a metal pole.
You just spend all day around the Festivus pole airing grievances about traffic on Uri Drive and other such matters. Full House had a... You know, this is a more recent. They had our very first Christmas show in 1988.
More
they
recent. Were, what are you? What is your reference?
I'm a man of a certain age. The 80s were 20 years ago.
Right. It's a year after I was born.
That's right. And there we go. Thank you, Ruben. Let's see. What else jumped out at me here? There was an ep. Now, this is a strange one. I just got to thinking of Christmas episodes from growing up that kind of stuck with me, not necessarily beloved classics. But there was an episode of Saved by the Bell where
Zach
was interested in dating a homeless teenager.
Yes.
And it was done, you know, about like what you would expect from Saved by the Bell,
yeah,
as far as what the reality of that situation might be. But it's just one that I always think about. And then, of course, The Simpsons, way back when, their very first episode was a Christmas episode.
That's
called
true.
The Roasting on an Open Fire with Santa's Little Helper.
I've never seen a Simpsons
episode.
You've
never seen a Simpsons. Well, this one aired.
I've never seen a single Simpsons episode.
Right. Just recently in 1987. So you still have time to catch
up. So more recently for you, right?
That's right. All of these episodes are available for streaming. Oh, and then Moonlighting, which again, Ruben, you like VHS tapes.
Sure.
So you might have the Moonlighting Christmas episode.
I wonder how many people remember Moonlighting.
It was a great show.
Oh, my wife and I loved that show. Bruce Willis, that was what put him on the map.
Right.
Sybil Shepherd.
Yeah.
Was it Sybil Shepherd?
It was Sybil Shepherd.
Now, there was my if I could only ever watch one television show the rest of my life, mm-hmm. I bet Ruben could guess what it would be.
I wonder what it could be.
Does it involve Mayberry?
They, out of the 8 years that they did the Andy Griffith Show, they only had one Christmas episode.
Just the one.
They only did one Christmas episode. And that was the very first season.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very interesting to me because if you watch over the history of the show, they never had any current references. It was in production from like 1960 to 68 or 15. I don't think 59. I think it was 60.
Mm-hmm.
There was never any references. The show was supposedly, as Joey says, supposedly set in current time.
Right. But it did not reference
current events. Reference anything current.
Right.
I think there was one time when Otis said something about the fallout was affecting the milk.
Okay.
Talking about nuclear weapons.
Okay.
Nuclear weapon testing at that time.
Right.
Other than that, the show actually was kind of set in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Even the old style phone without dials on them.
Well, that's why it's so timeless.
Absolutely.
Because you can watch it and really have no idea.
There was no taking you out of that reality.
Right.
But they only had one Christmas episode.
And that was on my list as well. But I thought as I was making this list, Mike is going to bring up Andy Griffith. So I don't have to.
You did.
So I went with
you.
No, I went with more recent television,
like
Full House. Right, because I'm young and hip, and those are the shows I grew up with. So I've got to throw those out there.
Well, you did say The Office.
The Office, yeah, but even that, my goodness, it's been off the air now for 12 years.
No.
Yeah, I think 2013, it might even be 2011.
It's, it's been over a decade.
It's been a little bit.
It's been off the air. Oh, well, no, it's still on the air.
Right.
They play it in rerun over and over
again. Now, you didn't mention one of my favorite Christmas episodes.
Okay.
Talk about more recent, Ted Lasso.
It's on my list as well.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
It's on my list as well. I don't watch Ted Lasso, so I didn't feel super confident about bringing it up because I have no frame of reference.
From him.
But it was on many of the lists. So.
Yes. The Ted Lasso episode when they all go over to Higgins' house and they, so sweet.
It seems like a show that I should watch.
It's such a sweet show. In fact, it's funny because when my daughter came home, we started it over again. We started with episode one, and you're through five episodes before you even
right.
know it.
It's easy to do.
They're only like 30 minutes long each.
What I've seen of it, I've found it delightful and charming.
And the Christmas episode is great.
Well, I may have to check that out.
Very
Tommy,
you left my favorite off.
Oh.
Which is Tales from the Crypt, season 2, episode 1.
Of course it
and
is.
And All Through the House. And All Through the House is one of the greatest Christmas classics
on my
of
list
all
too.
Time.
Yeah. The Perils of a December Birthday. We'll talk about that after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 with Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, 710keel.com.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
All right, Steve Graff from Hooking Up and Tracking Down just texted me, and I don't know how to classify this one because the Waltons came out in 1972.
Okay.
But there was a movie called The Homecoming.
All right.
Right.
Which it was called The Homecoming, A Christmas Story was the official title. And it was The Waltons.
Okay. But it was before The Waltons.
But it was 1971.
Okay.
So it really wasn't a special Waltons episode. It was a movie.
Okay.
That the Waltons television show was then based on.
Huh.
But if you haven't seen The Homecoming, it's set in 1933.
All right.
Have you seen that?
No. Oh. We're finally talking about something before I was born, so I feel better.
So it's one of mine and my wife's absolute favorites. She loves the Waltons, but this is a movie that they did, like I say, in 71, and it was about the dad trying to make it home on Christmas Eve. Okay. And it was the Waltons, and it was a different dad than the television show. In fact, a different mom, a different grandparents, but a lot of the same kids. I think all the kids were the same.
Right. It introduced the Walton family and launched the famous TV series.
Ellen Corby was there. So, one of our favorites.
I landed one of the Waltons Christmas specials on VHS recently, so I'm going to have to put that one in tonight and see which one. I don't know if it's the Homecoming or if it's like a Waltons Family Christmas.
Okay.
I'm going to have to put that in before I put
I'm sure they probably had Christmas episodes.
My VHS.
Now, Ruben, where do you hunt down these VHS tapes?
High and low. I usually on my VHS days, I hit up every Goodwill in town. And then every secondhand store in town.
Okay.
And I think this last haul, I got like 50 tapes and spent maybe $10.
Now, when you do this, do you know what you're looking for? Like you're in, you know, your strengths. It strikes a certain fancy.
There are certain things that I'm always on the lookout for. Anything old sci-fi or horror, I want immediately. But if I see something that it's like, oh, I've never seen or heard of this before. Let me check it out. Yeah, and I've been sorely disappointed. I watched a movie the other day called With Honors Brendan Fraser, who was huge when the movie came out.
We just came across that.
Brendan Fraser and Joe Pesci plays a homeless guy. I guess he was trying to get away from the whole mob thing. And boy, did I not like that movie.
You did not care for With Honors.
It was Joe Pesci being annoying and Brendan Fraser trying to cut a sexy face for an hour and a half.
Well, speaking of the Homecoming and the Waltons, I don't think there was a boy alive in 1973, 75 that didn't have a major crush on Mary Ellen.
Oh, wow. Mary Ellen.
Yeah. Now, okay, we were going to talk about my daughter. Her birthday is on the 28th, and we spent her whole life trying to make sure she didn't get lost in the shuffle.
Right.
But yours, Ruben, is even worse.
Christmas Day.
Yours is tomorrow.
Tomorrow, yep.
Ruben shares a birthday with Christ.
Yep, yep. Me, Jesus, and Elvis are all Capricorns.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty good company, quite frankly.
Yeah, why not?
So, first of all, happy birthday.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Happy birthday, Ruben.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Oh, gosh, we're doing it.
Keep up. Happy birthday, dear Ruben. Happy birthday to you.
Yay. And many more.
I'm 38. Great.
Nice.
Great. 38 years old.
Yeah. Woo.
Exciting.
It's a good age.
The age of my kids. But yeah, we tried to spend special time for my daughter. In fact, we used to have swim parties in July,
right,
celebrating her birthday, or June.
Now, when I was a little kid, when I was real young, we would have, you know, invite all my friends to the skating rink like on the 15th, like on December 15th, and that would be my birthday.
Oh, there you go.
But after 12 years old, they were like, no, it's all the same now, sorry.
Do they at least get you like a separate birthday present?
Well, yeah, and there's Christmas stuff, and then there's, and my mother this morning accidentally spoiled my birthday cake by sending me a text that said, with a picture of my cake that said, I made your brother a gingerbread cake, and it's shaped like a guitar.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I made your brother a gingerbread cake, and I had to text her and be like, Mom, I'm the brother. You texted the wrong kid.
Oh, wow. She was thinking about
you. Now you can look forward to it.
Yeah.
Now you can look forward to getting your guitar gingerbread cake.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I didn't bring it this morning.
I got lost in the shuffle, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I-20 update with Aaron Buchanan with the DOTD coming up in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty, Thomas.
Now more breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, Mike and McCarty. We talked last night. We went to Natchitoches, had dinner on Front Street, walked around the Christmas lights. And while we were having dinner on the one of the bigs, on several of the big screens, was the trailer for the new Neil Diamond movie.
Right. Yep.
And Song Sung Blue. Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
Cameron. Is it Cameron Diaz? No. Who was it?
It is slipping my mind. Goldie Hawn's daughter.
Kate Hudson.
Hudson.
Yeah.
There it is.
Okay, Kate Hudson.
Yes.
It looks good. My wife loves Neil Diamond. That was one artist that I wanted to be able to take her to go see. And sure. He never came here.
Right.
Never came. I couldn't even catch him in Dallas.
Right.
So we were talking about going to see that movie either tomorrow or over the weekend while everybody's here. And my sister goes, I am not going to Tinseltown.
Why? What's going on at Tinseltown? I was just there. I ate handfuls of popcorn and snacks.
Did the popcorn have raisins in it? Did it have any extra?
What were those? I was wondering.
So, well, obviously, you're aware of the situation with the rodents at Tinseltown.
Right.
That has it. What's the latest? Have you heard?
I don't know. I know that they had, you know, there were some violations that were flagged, and they had a month to act upon those violations, and I don't think that they did.
Erin went. She said she got popcorn and everything.
She even got popcorn,
Didn't have a problem.
Risked it. Went big risk.
But I just thought it was interesting because I honestly did. You said you go to the Goodwill to get your VHS tapes.
Yeah, and it's always packed.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I figure.
Right.
And this is the first time I've heard anybody go, I'm not going.
Right.
So I thought that was interesting. So I wonder if it has affected their attendance.
It's had to, at least a little. And you just hope that the, you know, corporate will get on top of that because, I mean, that's a theater that does, you know, it's been around here in the Shreveport market
huge.
For, you know, three decades now. And people look to that. And, of course, we do have other options like the Robinson Film Center downtown.
Not many anymore.
But not many options.
The Boardwalk.
You would think that Cinemark Corporate would get their act together and get things pulled together. Maybe they have.
That theater in Bergeron Airline Drive closed.
Oh, sure.
Quail Creek Cinema closed.
Mm-hmm.
Shreve City Cinema closed.
Right.
Remember all the Capri Theater?
Oh, yeah.
I remember going to see movies at the Strand. Right. Last movie I saw at the Strand, The Legend of Boggy Creek.
Oh, wow.
Amazing.
That's how long ago that was.
Right. And then, of course, Eastgate Shopping Center, the movie theater there.
Oh, wow. Yes. Next to Crystal Palace.
Right.
Who remembers that? I-20 update coming up right after the break. Mike and McCarty, Thomas Avalone in for Aaron, 101.7 FM, 710.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
101.7 FM, 710 Kiel. Mike and McCarty, Aaron off today. In fact, she's got some time off scheduled. We'll be out the rest of this week, as a matter of fact. Thomas Avalone joining us in studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for coming on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline with the DOTD. Aaron Buchanan joining us. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas Eve to you.
Merry Christmas Eve to you as well. Thanks for having me.
Well, now tell us, I was kind of curious. I've got to head to Arcadia later this afternoon, this evening. Is the I-20 situation in Bossier look like now?
The situation looks a lot different than it did just a few weeks ago. We have basically all the lanes open in both directions with the exception of just a small section of the far right lane near the eastbound Hamilton Road area. But other than that, all the lanes and ramps are open. The only ramp that still closes is the eastbound off-ramp to Benton Road.
Those areas will reopen probably sometime in late January. And then we'll be wrapping up the entire project, I would say, probably sometime in March. So the end of everything is very much in sight.
Uh-huh.
I will say, though, once we get into the new year, though, we will have some intermittent lane closures here and there, short duration type lane closures to kind of finish out all those final work items that still need to be done. But all the major construction is finished.
You're saying there in Bossier at where is there? You're still closed by Diamond.
Typically, so we've been used to being funneled down to one lane eastbound.
Yes, that's what I was going to ask. The Hamilton Road, so is it still a funnel there?
It's a funnel. It's only we've got two lanes open now instead of one. And so the far right outside lane is closed just through that area between Hamilton and the Benton Road exit.
Okay.
That little area is still got one lane closed.
But two are open.
Two are open now, so which is double the capacity than what we've seen throughout the duration of the project. And then westbound, everything's open. Everything's flowing, you know, as it typically would. And then past that point, eastbound, everything's flowing like it normally would, which is great. We've endured a lot over the last couple of years, but
yes,
there's a lot of people that have put in a lot of hard work to get us to this point. And, you know, this is really what we've been working toward, is have a brand new section of interstate, and that's what we've got.
Now, after you said the year, it's not going to really conclude until March. What do they still have left to do after?
So, we've got major, we've got things like putting down the permanent roadway striping. Right now it's temporary. So some spots you'll see are wearing off. That's temporary striping. It's not the permanent. We need to wrap up installing all the overhead signage. All that's new signage as part of this project. There's some just small things here. They're putting out seed to make sure the grass grows eventually to help with erosion and things like that.
Okay.
So it's kind of all those, little items that are part of most projects at the end that we'll need to do to really check it off and call it all complete.
Is the section in Bossier, are trucks still being routed through 220, or is it now open to trucks?
Yeah, they are still being routed to 220. We do implement some of those lane closures. There may be some areas that are really still narrow for trucks when we get to that point. So if they can just bear with us for the next few weeks, you know, we'll lift that and stop routing them through to 220.
Okay.
But for right now, they are still being routed.
Okay. So Bossier should be finished, you said, in March, around March.
Yeah, and that's, of course, as we always say, weather dependent, season, things like that. But very much the end is in sight. And we're very excited to be at this point in the project.
So now, does that mean the construction is going to move west into Shreveport?
So we have, we do have a future project to perform some concrete repairs. It's a few years out. It's in development at this point. Unless we get additional funding, it's not a full rehab where we rip everything up down to the dirt and fully, put new down. But it is one that would provide some pretty significant repairs to the Shreveport side of the river as well. So that there is a project in development for the Caddo side. It's just not quite as extensive and widespread in terms of the type of work being done. But it would still go a long way to improve the rideability and the roadway itself.
Yeah, because it's pretty bad also.
It needs it, sure. Yeah. It needs it on the Shreveport side as well, no doubt. And, our legislature has come through with funding for a lot of projects to move them forward. And so this may be one that we can supplement with additional funding and maybe change the scope of the project and make it more of a rehab. We'll have to see.
So they are planning on some, right?
Yes.
For Shreveport.
We do have a future project for the Shreveport side. Yes, we do.
And when do we expect that to start?
Well, it's still, like I said, it's still in development. It's still in the design
type of, so we're still a few years out from even letting that project, going to bid with that project.
So we haven't even started the bid process or anything.
Right. Yeah.
I was thinking that that was part of this whole rehab.
This part of the rehab, we have, we did have concrete panel replacement as part of this rehab that was also on the Shreveport side as well.
Right.
That outside of that, there's still so much more that needs to be done on the Shreveport side too. So yes, we did have that on the Shreveport side as well.
And have they done that?
Yes, that's all complete.
Okay.
Yes. That was done as part of this project.
All right. What about I-40? What about I-49? I'm going to get that connected.
When we're going to get that connected. Good question. We just received an update on that from our MPO, the latest meeting that we had on the 19th. And once we have a record of decision, hopefully next year, which is like the ultimate goal for this type of project, is to have a ROD or a record of decision from the federal government. Then you're looking at things like, where do we find the money? So that's kind of where we're at with that project. Once we identify the final route for that, then we move forward with identifying, how we would pay for that type of project.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, Aaron, thank you for the update. It's actually some exciting news and very welcome news.
Yes, it is. Welcome for everybody involved.
Absolutely. Sure. Well, Merry Christmas to you and your family, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
Wow, we did it, guys. Wow. So you're heading to Minden.
I'll be heading there tomorrow morning.
Oh, tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So big plans today, Christmas Eve. What are you doing Christmas Eve?
I'm going to be doing a little Birthmas celebration with a couple of my bandmates.
Oh, there nice. You go.
Yeah.
Birthmas. Thomas Avalone in for Aaron. What about you?
Oh, I'm not going to be going too far. I'll be here in the Shreveport, Bossier area. Just going to finish up with a few last-minute Christmas items and church this evening. And
we're going to our church is doing 3 Christmas Eve services.
Oh, sure.
And you had to kind of pre-register. Now, walk-ins, obviously, they're not going to tell somebody to go away.
Well, sure. Walk-ins accepted.
Yes, absolutely. And so we'll be at one of the services today, and then we're going to Arcadia.
Oh, nice.
Every year growing up, we went to my grandmother's on Christmas Eve, and everybody came. And I mean, it seemed like there were 100 people in the house. She lived in Shady Grove.
Okay.
And my aunt still lives in that house today.
Very nice.
Wow.
But she's not up to hosting 100 people in the house.
Right.
And so.
Who is?
No kidding. But my cousins kind of have taken that over at their house in Arcadia. And so everybody drives out. And so we, every Christmas Eve, and it's amazing because like my cousin, he's a couple, 2-3 years younger than me. I remember when his boys were little and now they bring their families and kids.
Right.
It's
important.
And I haven't aged a bit. I don't understand.
Right. Everyone else.
I feel exactly the same.
Exactly. Well, that's how you want to do it. But yeah, it's important as time goes on. And you've got the older generation of folks that kind of served as the linchpin for those family get togethers. And as they pass, then if someone can step up and keep that together.
And we're grateful that we still do.
Right.
All my cousins, we still, in fact, we get together during the year. Real quick, in the last minute, I have a question for both of you.
Go ahead.
Kind of a little informal poll. Let me ask, what do you think of the people call it Dirty Santa?
We do it every year.
Okay.
At my big family, yeah.
I don't care for the name. I mean, I think
I don't care for the whole thing.
Right. The other name for it is white elephant.
White elephant. Right. Yeah. Right. White elephant.
And I don't know where that comes from. I have no clue.
For years, we used to draw names. And you get somebody's name and you buy a gift for that person.
Right.
I like that.
And then that person just gets to keep it. It's just theirs. They can take it home. They don't have to fight someone for it.
We all bring a gift and
it can get out of hand. Right.
And then to me, it's mean-spirited.
It can
somebody gets something they like, and then somebody else goes, I'm taking it.
Right. And then you're on the news.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
Right.
My family likes being jerks.
I don't know. I know. And people in my family love it. They it's just fine. Well,
right.
No, it's not. I don't like it.
No, I think I'm with you, Mike. It's not in the spirit of the season.
Am I just being bah humbug? I don't know.
Maybe a little, but sometimes that's appropriate.
I've become that guy. Huh?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I hate that. Merry Christmas, guys.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thomas, thank you so much.
Of course. It's a pleasure to be here.
Reuben, happy birthday.
Merry Christmas to all.
And to all a good night.